Anybody grateful for the blood of Jesus tonight? For the name of the Lord, our strong tower, we thank you, Lord.
Welcome once again to the Voice of Love. This is your servant and minister, Basil Robinson. May God truly bless you and enrich you and keep you strengthened and encouraged, saving you by his grace daily. The salvation that is rich, a salvation that is pure, a salvation that is holy, and most of all, a salvation that is complete. Glory to God. We give God praise. I want to give a couple of announcements before we begin. And we were in New Bern, North Carolina, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of this past weekend, and had a tremendous time with the saints of God there, and with by the love of God and the power of God demonstrating it. Tremendous testimonies of healings, miracles, and the teaching of God's word to strengthen and encourage God's people. We give God praise and thanks for our sons and daughters throughout the globe, to Harrison and Rekha in India, and others throughout the planet, Apostle Thomas and Tina in the States and other places, Sonia, Henry. We just give God praise and thanks for each and every one of you that are a part of us, and we are a part of you. We're one family and one body called Christ. Just want to give you an update Women of Kingdom Power 2019 conference. That'll be March 29th, 30th, and 31st at the Bridgeport Holiday Inn. That's 1070 Main Street in Bridgeport, Connecticut. That's 1070 Main Street in Bridgeport, Connecticut. The theme is The Great Outpouring. The theme again is The Great Outpouring from Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. For more information, call area code 203-880-9553. That's for more information, call area code 203-880-9553. Or you can visit us on our website at www.ctwmii.org. That's www.ctwmii.org. And the registration is free. Registration, again, is free. And I wanted to say that this program is now partially sponsored by Pampy's Jamaican Restaurant, where flavor meets taste. And that's 1037 Albany Avenue. That's 1037 Albany Avenue. That's in Hartford, Connecticut. Area code 860-216-5680. That's 860-216-5680. Once again, that's Pampy's Jamaican Restaurant, where taste or flavor meets taste. And I vouch for them because we frequent them just about daily. And that advertisement is 100% true and correct. Now, to the Word of God. And so, Father, we give you praise and thanks, O God, for those who are listening throughout the globe. We thank you, Father God, for the sound that's coming from heaven to them even now. A sound, O God, of awakening. A sound, O God, of mobilization. A sound, O God, that will stretch beyond doors. It will stretch beyond borders. It will penetrate denominations. It will penetrate, O God, social and racial classes of people. It will get to the heart of the matter, which is the spirit of man, the man who you made in your image and your likeness, Abba, Father, and that there's no other God, and there is absolutely no other way to you, Father, but by Jesus Christ, your begotten, your only begotten Son, the one who is and was and ever shall be the Word of God, God himself. And so, Father, we thank you for today. And we praise you and we magnify you. Hallelujah for who you are and everything that you've done. You've done everything perfectly and everything well and everything good and everything complete. We're so grateful to you, Father, that you don't have to do it again or fix the plan or fix what you have presented to us. It's complete. It is design in its origin. And Father God, even the more so in its execution. And I thank you today. So once again, my statement is and my plea is that if we can have one person to believe with us now, that the power of Satan, the power of sin, spiritual death is broken in your home, in your on your block, in your community, in your city, in your state, in your nation. One person that will agree with us that in, for example, we live in Monroe, that the power of God is evident there and the power of Satan is broken and destroyed because of Jesus Christ. The power of poverty, we speak wealth. We speak wealth to these places. We speak spiritual life into these places and we speak health and healing to all flesh in the name of Jesus. If there could be one person, that's really all we need, is two touching and agreeing concerning anything in his name, it shall be done. And when you, when this broadcast is finished and during the course of your day, if you would confess the same simple truth, that spiritual life, the eternal life promised of the Father, is has supplanted every other kind of life, that wealth has supplanted every other thing except itself, and that healing has supplanted, has taken the place of every form of sickness and disease. If you can confess that and hold fast to the confession of your faith, you shall see the salvation of God in this land of the living. You'll see it in time, not in eternity, but in time, in Jesus' name. And so we give God praise and thanks once again for you being here. And we want to pick up where we left off last week. And we understood from the book of James that even the demons believe, even Satan believes. He believes and he knows that God is God, Jesus is God, and he knows the Holy Spirit is God, and he knows that everyone born of God is Christ. He knows that. And so because he knows it and his entire kingdom knows it, the word of God says in Revelation chapter 12 that the kingdoms, Revelation chapter 12 says he went about and he deceived the whole world. And so because his power is deception and he deceived the whole world, he causes men to believe and call themselves something that he could never call himself on the witness stand, is that he cannot ever say. He could lie, but he if he was to call to speak the truth, he could never say that he does not believe in God. So it's one thing to say you believe. It's another thing to do the will of God, do the word of God. The word of God and the will of God are one. And so we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that his power is deception, to deceive people, to call themselves something that he himself is not. And so again, the kingdom of God, the kingdom that God established, and the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom designed by law and laws, laws that govern everything. There's a law that says that the word of God, every word of God is a law of God. The word of God says that he has exalted his word above his name. He has exalted his word above his name. So that simply means that God cannot violate his word, no matter how much he loves you, no matter how much we plead and beg and scream and holler and cry. He cannot help you if he violates his word. He has subjected even his name, all that he is, to his word. So we see clearly that though Jesus destroyed him who had the power of death, brought him to naught, brought him into condemnation, and took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave, even though he did that, it doesn't yet appear that he is destroyed, because, see, what Jesus did was for us, those who are born of his spirit, those who are born again, to enter into the finished work. That's what it means to be more than a conqueror. The book of Romans chapter 8, we're more than a conqueror because he destroyed Satan, took the keys to hell, death, and the grave, destroyed him who had the power of death, and he did it as you and I. He did it as Basil. He did it as Roxanne. He did it as Jewel. He did it as Ingrid. He did it as Thomas. He did it as us. And so we get the reward, the benefit of the victory, without ourselves having to go through the particular war that he waged in hell and was raised on the third day. And so we see it clearly that God, in his wisdom, designed a plan before Adam sinned that was foolproof. And that plan was executed and came to pass over 2,000 years ago. And so because he subjected himself to his word, he said that there's an hour coming where Satan shall be cast into a pit for 1,000 years and then released after the 1,000 years for a short season. So in that interim, he gave the authority, the dominion of Christ to his sons. And every son who walks in harmony with God carries the seed of that dominion to be awakened by God at a specific time where the anointing, the quickening of that seed, the quickening of the anointing causes that seed to grow. And it doesn't grow based on human calendar time. The Bible is clear in the book of Revelation that there was trees that bore 12 manner of fruit every month. Now, that is not humanly possibly, physically possible on earth, but in heaven, it is possible. So he's telling us that the quickening of that seed will cause there to be such a manifestation of fruit, of glory, of spiritual reality, that it will continue on and on and on. This is a part of the dominion of Christ. And so we give God praise and thanks. So we want to go back now to Genesis chapter 1 at verse 28. Genesis chapter 1 at verse 28. And God said, after he had made everything, this is the sixth day. This is part of the sixth day. This is toward the end of the sixth day. God said, Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. No angel, no fallen angel, no demon, no disembodied spirit has ever been made in the image and the likeness of God. So he is saying here that we are made in God's class. If you are not saved, if you're not walking with God, if you're hearing this program, this is the design of the designer. This is the manufacturer's code. This is what you are intended to be. And he says, and let them have dominion. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. Fish of the sea, which is below the earth line. So that is the fish of the sea, what moves in the waters, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, his own reflection. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. He just didn't bless the male. He blessed them. When we go to Genesis chapter 5, we see he called them Adam. But when Adam was awakened out of sleep and he saw this counterpart coming to him, this helpmeet, he called her woman. He saw in her the ability to produce a womb, a birthplace that the Father taught him, that out of the womb, whether it is the earth, whether it is a woman, out of the womb will come forth life. And so he called her woman, and he called her Eve, the mother of all living. It was not God the Father that called Eve, Eve. It was Adam, the male. But he said he blessed them. They were equal in blessing. They were equal in design, and they were equal in love. And he says, he blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Because of God's omniscient understanding and power, he knew that an enemy would come to subvert, to take over, and to try to infiltrate and destroy the creation that God made for man. That's why he said, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion, replenish, and subdue. Because up until that point, everything that God created and made was perfect. So what was there to subdue? What was there to reform or bring about and make right? And so because, again, of the Father's omniscient understanding, there's nothing that surprises him, that nothing that rolls upon him by accident or he was not aware of. So he gave them dominion, a preemptive dominion over every single thing that he created. He created the worlds, the universe. He created the creation for his sons who are to come, that is on this planet now, to begin to exercise dominion over his creation, over angels, over demons, over principalities, over powers. Now watch this. And he said, verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given unto you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there's life. I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. At the evening, once again, man was made at the end of the sixth day. And the evening, male and female, and the morning were the sixth day. This day is the day that God created man. And it was the third day that God brought about a new man from the tomb, from hell itself, a new man created in God, called Christ Jesus, the Lord. And in every one of us who dares to believe, who confesses him as Lord, we were born with him on that third day, born with his dominion, born with his authority, and born with his power, waiting for the times of refreshing, the time appointed of the Father. Glory to God. Now we skip over to Genesis chapter 3. And we look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. After Adam had sinned, and the male and the female had sinned, Adam had sinned, the male, and God then made clothing for them. And God, in the Father, in verse 15 says, and I will put enmity, I will put a sincere dislike between thee, he's talking to Satan, and the woman, Satan represented by the serpent. And he said, and between thy seed. So there's a seed of Satan. There's a seed. And her seed. There's a seed of a woman. So when God spoke that, the redeeming process, the redemption process for every woman began right here. And I'm going to show you where it was fulfilled. And the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. And thou, the serpent, shall bruise the heel of the woman. In the statement, God had saw in his vision the Roman Empire and their perfection of crucifixion. This started somewhere between the Medo-Persians, but it was perfected by the Romans, the book of Daniel. Daniel saw a vision of a head of gold, a chest of silver, a body of bronze, legs of iron, and feet of iron mixed with clay. That image was destroyed by a rock that was cut out of a mountain without hands. That little rock, that revelation where God spoke to Peter, the Father spoke to Peter in the book of Matthew chapter 16. And Jesus said, flesh and blood. When he asked them, who do men say that I am? Then he said, who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ. That's the rock cut out of a mountain, the mountain of God, not made by hands of stone. He said, upon this rock, this revelation, he said, Peter, small stone, I'll build my church. Not on Peter, but upon the rock, the revelation, that somebody can say that Christ is my Lord. Christ is my Savior. Christ is God, and I am no longer Basil, but I am Christ. And so that rock, that revelation represents what is made not by hands, but by the Spirit of God, by the hand of God himself. The Word of God tells us that when he couldn't find an intercessor, that his own right hand brought salvation, wrought salvation, made you and I, mankind, those that would say yes, just like those that in that garden that said yes to Satan and became his spiritual offspring, sons, offspring of Satan, another father, the other father. Now, by us saying yes to Jesus, we become the offspring. We become the very offspring of God the Father, restored to the new creation, back to where, beyond even what Adam had, a greater manifestation, a greater life, eternal life. And so, chapter 3, again, verse 16 says, he says unto the woman, he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow in conception. Why? Because now people that were going to be born were going to be born in sin, not born in righteousness. And so, and verse number 22, and the Lord God said, behold, a man has become as one of us to know good and evil. The book of Hebrews chapter 5 tells us that God had intended for man to know good and evil, but to discern it, to make a distinction over it, not partake of it. So because Adam partook of it, it became part of his nature. He ate the fruit. The Bible says that the fruit of one's lips, you shall live by them. And so the fruit of his lips, he began to live the life of death. And this Adam understood what we didn't understand. He resisted Satan's death sentence for over 930 years. Praise God. And he says, back to verse 22. He said, and now, lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. I said before, God does not agree with, does he? He doesn't love mixture. So the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a tree of mixture. The tree of life is a pure tree. It's a single tree. It's a tree of oneness, unity. And so for man to have mixed that unity, the tree of life is God's righteousness. For him to have mixed the righteousness of God with the mixture of the knowledge of good and evil, man would have lived forever as a corrupted being that could never be redeemed. So God kept the tree until someone who was righteous could walk to the tree, and by his appearing, the one who guarded the tree and what guarded it, he could enter in and procure life for all of his kind, all that will be born of him. That's why the Bible calls Jesus the everlasting Father. He is the progenitor of a new class, glory to God, a new race of beings called Christ. Watch this. He says, lest he put forth his hand, take of the tree of life and eat and live forever in a sin state. Now that's the love of a father. And he says now, there are oftentimes that we shield or protect our children from things that we know are not good for them until they are able to handle it. Glory to God. And he says, therefore, the Lord God sent him from, male and female, Adam, from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove the man out of the garden and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep, listen to this, to keep the way of the tree of life, not to permanently lock it away, but to keep it away until someone who is righteous, because remember, righteousness can't die. Sin can die. Spiritual death can die. There's an appointed time for death, but there is no appointed time for death for righteousness. And so Jesus would be who is the righteousness of God became flesh. So when he became flesh, righteousness, the same righteousness that caused Adam, made Adam to be Adam, male and female, now was born of a woman. The book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. And it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin, behold, Mary shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And so the moment that conception took place, God was living in Mary's womb. This just simply, every time I think about this, it just blows me away in thinking that God could submit himself and lower himself to be hidden in a woman's womb for 9 months at the disposal of humanity. I mean, to lower yourself from as God to come into a human womb. Remember the word woman, womb. And so women have been, beaten, battered, because there's an enmity between Satan and the woman. And so it's followed her. But remember what God said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He gave the promise of emancipation. And that's why when in the fourth chapter, the book of Genesis, when Eve produced the firstborn son, Cain, she said, I've received a man from the Lord. In other words, she believed the seed, the promise of Genesis 3:15 was fulfilled in Cain until she realized that Cain was a murderer. But from that moment to the moment of Mary's conception, glory to God, the woman was redeemed by the Father. Therefore, the Lord shall himself give you a sign. 7:14, the book of Isaiah. Behold, a virgin, Mary, shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Chapter 9, same book of Isaiah. And it says, chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born. Jesus was born a child. But unto us a son is given. When he came out of the tomb, now he is the son, the firstborn from the dead. He is now wholly begotten of God from the dead. And every son that believes on him in this dispensation of grace is begotten of God the Father as a type of firstborn of God. He says, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And so the hour is come with the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 15, where it says, the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. And so the sons of God who are, whether you are a sinner right now, whether you're living in sin, I speak a word to you now. Come out, be reconciled to God, because God's plan is to put his seed in you that he promised of the woman. And that seed shall crush. He has given the sons of God in this hour the privilege, thank you, Holy Spirit, the right, thank you, Father, to execute judgment upon the kingdom of darkness. Not argue and fight and be stuck in all of these conflicts where confusion reigns and every evil work lies. But in righteousness, glory to God. He says, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name, if you think of the highest government on planet Earth, if you think of the greatest government on planet Earth, all these governments are upon his shoulders. His shoulders represents his body. That's the body of Christ. I pray that we could wake up to this. He says, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He says, verse 7, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Every time you enforce the name of Jesus, every time someone is born again, every time someone is healed, as the woman said on Saturday night when we called up for prayer and we spoke the word, she said, I'm healed in Jesus' name. Every time you enforce the kingdom, a kingdom that does not have sickness, a kingdom that does not have poverty, a kingdom that does not have spiritual death, a kingdom that can only offer you righteousness, a kingdom that can only offer you peace, a kingdom that can only offer you wonder, a kingdom that can only offer you a father who loves you so much that he would take your place, and so you can take his place seated with the Father in the throne. Now watch this now. You have counsel. Glory to God. If you receive Jesus right now, you have a built-in counselor. No more psychiatrist. No more on the couch. No more philosophy of men. You have the counselor. And he gave us a promise. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Father. He gave us a promise. He said to the boys before he left, he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you counselless. I'm going to come again. And he said, I'm going to receive you unto myself. I'm going to send the comforter. I'm going to send the counselor. He's just like me. We're made of the same material. And he's going to come. There's no way that I can go get in you now. But the time is coming where I'm going to be able to enter in you. And when I enter in you, then you'll know that everything I said to you, glory to God, was absolute truth. Because I'll be living in you. You'll be able to talk to me inside. Thank you, Father. You'll be able to communicate with me on the inside. You'll be able to hear me, and I'll be able to hear you. I bring you into the courts, because remember, it's not you trying to worship God. It's the Father seeking true worshipers. And when God finds a dwelling place, when God finds a home that he could dwell in, I often ask this question, if heaven was so good, if heaven is so perfect, why would God want to change locations of his dwelling place and come and live in these frail, glory to God, human bodies? There's something about the human body. There's something about the human spirit that intrigues my Father. There's some things that it just amazes him to experience what it is to live his life and someone live his life out in the human spirit. It's something really, really amazing. It's mind-blowing that God... See, there's a good house. There's a better house. But then there's the dream house, the best. And God saw you, whoever you are that is you, wherever you are today, as God said to Adam, where are you? Where are you? Why are you living below, contrary to the standard of my life? He says, if you will allow me to come in, I'll come in. See, when God comes into the human spirit, he doesn't leave any part of himself. He doesn't leave the throne behind. He comes and establishes the throne. It's the only substance, the human spirit. It's the only substance that it's compatible to him, so he can sit, because he's spirit. He's a living God. He's not dead. He can't sit on an earthly throne made out of bronze or ivory or gold. He needs a living throne. Glory to God. And so he comes when you invite him to come in. And you see, one of the beauties that I understand very clearly is that unlike us, when we buy a home or we rent an apartment or we have a condo, glory to God, see, we have to leave it for periods of time, whether it's to go shopping, whether it's to go to work. We're only there for a period of time. But when God comes in, glory to his name, when the Father comes in, I told you, he moves everything in, and he says, I'm coming in to stay. I'm not moving. I'm not going out. I'm not going to answer the door. That's up to you. I'm not going to go out shopping. That's up to you. I'm just going to stay. You will take me where you are going, but I'm going to abide in you. I'm going to abide in you. I'm going to live in every room, every compartment of you, and I'm never leaving you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm never going to forsake you. Family, friends, people, situations, job, bosses, people, things may forsake you, but I have covenanted with you because of my son that I'm going to move in, and I'm going to bring the son with me, and I'm going to bring the Holy Spirit with me. I'm going to bring the throne with me. I'm going to set up a new home in you. The residence, the address of God is the believer. The address of God is the sons of God. The address of heaven now is those who will confess him as Lord. And we're going to see here in a moment that it doesn't take forever. It's not about pleading. It's about coming. It's about coming to him in righteousness. Now we want to move on just a little bit to get to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And in Luke chapter 1, we see verse 26, Luke 1:26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this could be. What Isaiah spoke about, we're about to see that what God said in Genesis 3:15, that Paul opened in the scriptures, that a woman shall be delivered or sanctified or her salvation shall come about by childbearing. God was all the while. Remember that when the time in the upper room took place, when they were there in the upper room, remember that it was a woman that God spoke to in the garden. It's called a sepulcher, but Mary said she thought Jesus was a gardener. So this place was a garden. So Jesus was tempted. The earth had become filled with thorns and bristles and briar, a wilderness. But now he comes out of the tomb in a garden, just like the Garden of Eden, where God hid. He kept it from man until a man could come that was as righteous as God, passing the test. So that when you would walk, because Jesus said it, John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way. In other words, the angels, the cherubims were to keep the way. They were to keep the way until the way came. And hey, God, when the way came, the way now has been made open to you and I who believe. When the way came, the cherubims moved out of the way of its own accord because they couldn't stand on him. The way. He is now the way into the Father. The only way. Glory to God. Because there was only one way to the tree of life. Because there's only one tree. I told you, God hates amalgamation. He hates mixture. Doesn't care for it at all. He'll spew it out of his mouth. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, not lukewarm, not mixture. And so the flaming sword represents the word of God. So the cherubims, the sword, the word of God was there moving. So when the way came, when the way came, he had the keys, glory to God, to death, hell, and the grave. When the way came, he that destroyed him that had the power of death. He just didn't remove spiritual death, but he destroyed the enemy of your soul. He made him inoperative. He made him immobilized. He paralyzed him, glory to God. And he's still yet paralyzed today. If you can believe me, if you can take what I'm saying to word, if you can take the scriptures to task. If you can dare, say with me, all power has been given unto Jesus. That Jesus is the head of all principality and power. And he dwells in me the fullness of the Godhead. And I in him. So therefore, all things now are subject unto my words. My words become the Father's words. When I speak his words, there's no distinction. There's no difference. The only difference is, do I believe? Has all doubt been removed out of my heart and mind? And do I believe? No unbelief left, but do I believe? And so now the way comes. And the word of God. Remember, he's the word of God. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word is God. For all those that believe he was a word. I'm not going to beg to differ. I'm going to tell you 100% wrong. He's not a word. He is the word of God. Glory to God. And so when he came to this tree of life, he being the way and he being the word, the cherubims moved out of the way and he purchased, he took that life into himself. And so all life now is in Christ. It's not in any other religion. It's not in any form of religion. It's in no one else. Life is a person. It's not a thing. It's not a denomination. Life is a person. And his name is Jesus. If you look at what Jesus did, so much of the miraculous, so much of the supernatural, I'm speaking now to sons, happened outside the building, on the streets, where people live. And so Luke again, back to this, verse number 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Glory to God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Remember, the prophet said he shall be called Emmanuel. The moment conception took place, God was with us. And so therefore, Emmanuel took on the form of salvation. And that form of salvation is called Jesus. Glory to God. There's no other name by which men can be saved. No other name. And he says here, he says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, Mary is standing. Mary is not laying down. Mary is standing. She's upright. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Let me read that for you in the Amplified. It says, for with God, nothing is ever impossible and no word from God. Because everything God does is in seed form. Remember the seed of the woman, the seed. If you're born of God, you are that seed. Inherent is in you is the power to crush Satan. Let me say it again. Inherent in you is the power to crush Satan. The only reason why he has not been crushed to the capacity that he should be crushed around you is because you're not speaking, not understanding the full authority. If you are a sinner today, and you would dare say, according to Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, if you confess Jesus as Lord and receive Jesus as Savior, you have just crushed the head of sin in your life. And now you're sin free. You're free from sin. You're no longer under his mastery. You're no longer his slave. You now become his Lord. You become the authority over him. Glory to God. I challenge you to believe the word. It says, and no word from God shall be without power, impossible of fulfillment. If I had a seed that was 50,000 years old and it was intact and I planted it today, I would bear the fruit from that seed in this time and know what that seed or that fruit tasted like. And so therefore, if you plant the seed of the word of God, if you're born again of incorruptible seed, the power that formed that seed, when Paul caught it in Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 10, when Paul caught that revelation, the power that was in that seed is still yet here. The same power to save you, the same power to heal you, the same power to raise you from the dead, the same power to cure all manner of sickness and disease. If you could just believe, if you could just say, yes, Jesus, amen, Jesus, it's done in Jesus' name. And it says here, verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me. She asked him how it's going to happen. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. And let me say this. The moment she said, be it unto me, what the angel Gabriel said became living inside of her. It was made alive by her faith. She received and accepted what the word of God to her is, and she mixed it with her faith. The angel said she would conceive, a holy thing. She said, be it unto me. She mixed the word preached to her with her faith, and she conceived this wonderful thing, this wonderful being called Jesus. Verse 39, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. Some would dare say that John was stillborn until that period of time, but the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and John was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And again, because she received the word preached immediately, conception took place, to where when she went to Elizabeth, the immediate response was, there was something different inside of Mary, and there shall be something different inside of you if you dare choose to say yes to and believe the word of God preached to you today, and mix your faith with it and say, be it unto me now according to the word of God. And so we see it clearly. I remember, you know, there was a time when somebody said, we're going to the moon. And nobody had been to the moon. And they said they were going to the moon. And by speaking, conception took place. And years later, they went. The Apollo mission went to the moon. See, God created man in his image and his likeness. The Father cannot do anything unless he speaks it first. I want to go to Luke chapter 4, as we wrap up here. Luke chapter 4, verse 4 said, and Jesus answered him. Jesus was being full of the Holy Ghost, verse 1, returned from Jordan and was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, and being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. See, he knew, because again, Jesus had no sin. So in all the planet, there was only one human being, just like the original Adam, that was made without sin. Jesus was born without sin. He did no sin, so he was righteous. He couldn't die. His body would have just kept going and going and going and going until he became sin, who knew no sin. And so he became he became Basil, so that Basil could become him and have access to the Father freely. I just believe it. And he says here, I said, if you be, he knew who he was. He was testing to see whether out of desire for food, hunger, he would violate God's law and exercise his power. And he says, and Jesus said unto him, this is how we defeated the devil. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. When we go down to the second temptation, he said, Jesus answered, said unto him, verse 8, get thee hence, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. See, what we call spiritual warfare could be so simple if we just say what's written and believe what we said. Verse number 12, and Jesus answered and said, it is said, thou shalt not tempt. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And so the enemy left him. And now verse 16. And Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah, the prophet, Isaiah. And when he had opened the book and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's what the purpose of the anointing is, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. In verse 21, he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. He mixed his faith with the written word of God. Even God submitted himself and subjected himself to the word. Remember, his name, he's exalted his word above his name. If Jesus had to do it this way, we have no other way. He is the way. Glory to God. He shows us plainly how to do this thing, how to destroy, defeat the enemy. And he's given us power we couldn't earn, we couldn't buy, we couldn't get any other way. Glory to God. And we give God praise. We give God thanks. Our time is just about up. It's almost as though we're starting and we're just beginning and our time comes to a close. But time is not at the close yet. There's still opportunity for you to come to Jesus. I want you to stretch forth your heart and your hand toward this broadcast. Miracles, come now in the name of Jesus. Healings, come now in the name of Jesus. Deliverances, come now in the name of Jesus. I command it to be so in Jesus' name. God bless you richly. May the God of heaven strengthen you, save you, and show you the full salvation. God bless you until the next time we meet in Jesus' name. Once again, this program was partially sponsored by Pampy's Jamaican Restaurant, where flavor meets taste. 1037 Albany Avenue, that's Hartford, Connecticut. Phone number, area code 860-216-5680. Women's Conference, Women of Kingdom Power Conference 2019, March 29th, 30th, and 31st at the Bridgeport Holiday Inn, 1070 Main Street in Bridgeport, Connecticut. The theme, The Great Outpouring, from Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. For more information, call area code 203-880-9553, or you can contact us on our website at www.ctwmii.org. Remember, registration is free. God bless you richly. In Jesus' name.
Break every chain.